Well, good evening, folks. Good to see you here in the house of God tonight. I'm glad I feel good in my soul. That's about the only place I'm feeling good right now, but I feel good in my soul. 119th Psalm. While you're turning, let me say how much I appreciate each of you, your help in prayers during these days. I guess one of the best things that's happened to me is getting sick. I've had more people pray for me, more people try to help me. So I do thank God for you, and I trust God will bless each of you that are praying, have prayed, and have helped me. And I know He will. I'm not much, but I am a servant of the living God. And you can't do wrong by helping a servant of the Lord. So I thank God for my church. Thank God for my pastors. And I did put an S on it. Some people, you know, they have a problem with more than one pastor. I'm in such a pitiful shape that I need at least two. And may need three or four before it's over with. I know now, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but there's some of you before me, you don't even need one. But I need more than one, evidently, because God's given me two, and I thank God for them. Amen. And pray for them. I first of all pray for myself. So when I pray for AJ first. Try to get AJ in shape so he can pray for somebody else. And then I pray for my wife and my children. And then I pray for the men of God that God's put over me, who are praying for me and watching for my soul. Thank God for them. Thank God for a good church and a faithful God. Now, did I tell you where to turn? Psalm 119, verse 67. I'm going to read that verse, verse 71 and verse 75, and then share a few thoughts with you, as the Lord be pleased to help me. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now my message tonight is verse 67, afflicted. Verse 71, afflicted. Verse 75, afflicted. Afflicted, afflicted, afflicted. Affliction is the lot of men in general. Job chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Affliction is true of men in general, but it's especially true of believers. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Job said in Job 30 and verse 16, the days of affliction have taken hold upon me. Jeremiah, at the end of a faithful and pretty much fruitless ministry, said in Lamentations 3 and verse 1, I am the man that has seen affliction. It's true of men in general. It's true of believers especially. Afflicted, Afflicted. Now let's make sure that we understand all the different little connotations of this word afflicted. The psalmist said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." That word afflicted means to be chastened, to be corrected, to be exercised, to be forced, to be humbled, to be hurt, to be instructed, to be troubled, to be weakened. All of those words that I've just read there are true of that word afflicted. God afflicts His people. He certainly does. He has at least four methods of dealing with His people. He uses His saving grace, according to Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Teaching us. Afflicting us. That's what the saving grace of God does. John Newton understood it. That's why in the second verse of Amazing Grace, he wrote these words, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and then grace my fears relieved." The saving grace of God teaches, chastens, corrects, instructs, troubles, afflicts every one of God's children. Not only does God use saving grace to afflict us and instruct us and so forth, but He uses the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God afflicts you. It troubles you, does it not? It chastens you. It instructs you. God uses saving grace. He uses the Bible. He also uses sickness. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged," he said. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we not be condemned with the world." God uses sickness and afflicts His people. You want to be careful about praying for people that are sick that God will heal them, lest your prayer fly in the face of the perfect will of God for them. God knows what each one of us needs. He uses His grace to teach us and instruct us and afflict us. He uses the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. He uses sickness. He also uses Satan. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 20, Paul said he had delivered some to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. I tell you, I don't want anything to do with the devil. Don't want him even camped out in my neighborhood. Hope he'll go seeking somebody else. But God Almighty will let the devil get at you. I'm saying God has different methods that He uses in afflicting, in chastening, in correcting, in exercising His people. Why does God do that? Well, in David's case, God did it to punish him. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10, the prophet Nathan said, "The sword shall never depart from thine house, because, David, you have despised God." God does not let His people get away with anything. And there is such a thing as retributive chastening, or punishment from the hand of a loving God and our Heavenly Father. There is also educative chastening. Listen what Elihu said to Job in Job 36, verse 21 through 24. Behold, God exalteth by His power. Who teacheth like Him? Who hath enjoined Him His way, or who can say, Thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that Thou magnify His work, which men behold. God teaches. What's He doing in the book of Job? He's teaching Job. He's teaching Job's friends. And He's teaching all the millions who've read the book of Job since it was penned that God Almighty afflicts some to educate them. There's some things you'll never learn unless God afflicts you. And so God uses educative chastening. He also uses chastening as a preventative measure. Paul, blessed of God, with abundance of revelation, was given a thorn in the flesh. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why? So he wouldn't get lifted up above what was good for him and glorifying to God. God knows what you and I need to prevent us from sinning. Also, God's motives in afflicting and chastening His people are restorative. Look at verse 67 again here in the reading. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, God has afflicted me, and now I don't go there anymore. No, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept Thy Word. In these three verses that I read in Psalm 119, in verse 67, there is what we'll refer to as the before of affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. In verse 71, there is the because of affliction. We see it in the last part of the verse. That I might learn Thy statutes. And in verse 75, there is the behind of affliction. Behind it, a certain songwriter said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. The psalmist realized that it was the Lord in faithfulness. Behind that frowning providence was the smiling face of a loving Lord. Now notice verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept Thy Word. Psalm 107, verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And I'm looking at some foolish people. Of course we are. Thank God, I hope none of us are totally characterized as being fools. Otherwise, tomorrow is your holiday. It's the only atheist holiday that I know of. But we're all foolish. And we go astray. And because of our foolishness and our transgression and our iniquities, God afflicts us. Thank God that when I was an unsaved man, that the Lord didn't leave me in my sins. But He made my bed uncomfortable and my pillow hard. And things didn't go well with me. One of the most wicked men in the Bible, Manasseh, king of Israel, son of Hezekiah. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 11 through 13. The king of Assyria took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. But it took thorns. It took him being bound in affliction to cause him to fear God. Blessed providence that took him to that place and saved his soul from eternal perdition. God works that oftentimes with those who are unsaved. But not only does God do that for the unsaved to bring them to himself, but what about us? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Isn't that what Naomi did in the book of Ruth? Her and her husband and her sons went to Moab because of the famine. Instead of trusting God and continued there, she, till her husband and both of her sons died. When she got back to Israel, the Bible said they called her Naomi. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi." Ruth 1:21, she said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" I say, thank God that He doesn't let us stray here and there and go our own way, but He checks us. He afflicts us to keep us in the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. I'm glad, thank God, that my way for over 25 years has been hedged up with thorns. I don't know about you, but I'm hard-headed. Every preacher ought to be a little hard-headed because you're going to have to fool with a lot of hard-headed people. But you know, there have been many times when I've been like the horse or the mule and the Lord's had to put a bit and a bridle on me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Look at verse 71. It is good for me. Only the grace of God can cause a man to say that. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Afflicted. What's the worst affliction? Well, I'll read about it to you in Hosea 5 and verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. What's the worst affliction for a child of God? Is for God to be distant.
Yes. Amen.
The heavens brass. God nowhere to be found. And God does that many times so that we'll seek Him all the more diligently and earnestly and fervently. He said, in their affliction they will seek me early. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, said, "I'm cast out of the presence of the Lord." And he said there in Jonah 2 and verse 2, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I." Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, did he? He had a better idea. And God said, no, Jonah, you're going to do my will. Jonah didn't dig his heels in like a lot of folks do. A lot of church folks just dig their heels in and resist the will of God, you know. Come sit on the pew with their heels dug in. Jonah put his running shoes on. Said, I'm leaving town. But he ended up in the belly of hell. But God had mercy on him. And he taught him, didn't he? He taught him. Listen to Jeremiah 31, verse 18 and 19. I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded. What did he learn? He learned that God's way is best, and he was ashamed and confounded. Was Ephraim of his own way? Lamentations 3, verse 19 and 20, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And is humbled in me. Well, I don't know about you, but I could stand a heavy double dose of humility. I got enough pride for me and all of you and more beside. But I need a double dose of humility. And only God's chastening and afflicting and troubling and hurting and correcting will produce it. I said it's good for you. I got a witness in verse 71. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Listen to what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12 about the people of God. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Amen. Amen. Let the devil do what he will. And let his crowd do what they will. The more you afflict the righteous, the more they multiply and grow. God has ordained it so. I say I feel good in my soul. I don't see much to be encouraged about when I look around, and I don't see much to be encouraged about when I look on the inside. But thank God I'm enduring as seeing Him who is invisible. And up ahead, thank God, there's joy and gladness for them that fear God. There is the because of affliction. Now look at the last verse, verse 75. There's the behind. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness, not in anger, not in malice. God help the child of that parent who cannot correct or discipline unless they're angry. And God help that parent. Our Lord, in faithfulness, afflicts us. God's not going to be unfaithful to you and me. He's going to see that we get what we need. He
If it's 39 stripes, it'll be 39. It won't be 38, and it won't be 40. Whatever it is, if it's sickness or disappointment, loss of property, bereavement, ingratitude of others, unkindness of professed friends, and malice of enemies, domestic trouble, disobedient children, whatever it is that you need, a faithful God will send it your way. Listen what he said about his people. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He knows what's best. And he said he's chosen us in the fire. Through the fire and through the flood. He'll take us. Because that's what we need. Here's a wonderful reference. Lamentations 3:33. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't get a kick out of it. It doesn't bring joy to his heart just to afflict us. But he does it for our own good. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And you parents know how it is when you have to discipline a child. My daddy used to tell me, son, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. Well, it was, but in a different way. But it was hurting him more than it was hurting me. It was hurting him in his soul. I feel that God must feel the same way about us. In all our affliction, He's afflicted. Behind it all is not the devil, not an enemy, but behind it all is a faithful, loving Heavenly Father. Afflicted, afflicted, afflicted. Therefore, child of God, expect it. Things going good for you right now? Sing a song. Glorify God, but expect affliction. Listen to Hebrews 12:5-8. The writer of the book of Hebrews, writing that book of exhortation to those who profess faith in Christ, seeking to encourage them to go on, even though it was difficult days for them, said this, "And ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." There's some folk that go to church and they seem to be able to get by with any and everything. Oh, soul, if that's you, you're in danger of eternal damnation. You're not a child of God. God deals with every one of His children. God won't let me do wrong and get by, and He won't let you. He won't let me think wrong thoughts and get by, and He won't let you. He won't let you have a wrong attitude and get by. He won't let me. No, no. If you belong to God,
God will, a faithful God will bring you in the line. Expect it.
You're not without sin yet. My eyesight's getting bad, but I'm not seeing any halos on any of you. And it's not safe to be without suffering until you're without sin. And you're not going to be without sin until you get yonder before the throne in a glorified body.
Amen.
Expect it. Endure it. Endure it. That which cannot be cured must be endured. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 9, following. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Expect it. It's coming. Your whole earthly sojourn. Endure it. God's dealing with you as He deals with His sons. How am I going to be able to endure it? Well, first of all, I've got to commit myself to the Lord. 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Commit totally to God. Resort to the Word. That's what the psalmist did here in Psalm 119. Verse 50, he said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me." Verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Commit and submit to an all-wise and loving Heavenly Father. Resort to the Word. Find what you need in the Word of God to strengthen you. And pray. James said in James 5:13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Psalm 22, verse 24, "For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard." God won't despise you in your affliction. But when you cry unto Him, He hears you. I tell you what I pray. I pray what Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah 10:24. "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." That's a good prayer to pray. Expect it. It's coming. It's coming. Some of you are lost on your way to hell. Oh, that God would take you among the thorns. Bind you in affliction till you, like Manasseh, call on Him. Some of you are not right in spirit and in attitude tonight. If you're God's child, He won't let you continue on. And if you're not God's child, the only thing you can do is cause the people of God to increase and multiply. All your efforts are in vain. You're butting a rubber stump. Thank God. Listen to the testimony and the exhortation of the man of God in Psalm 66. "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. That's caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. What's God got planned for you, child of God? The very best that an all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful God can provide for one of His own. It's been my experience and my testimony to you tonight is this, that God, for over 25 years of being saved, has only given me the very best that He has. He only gives me the very best. And He does the same for every other one of His children. That man Paul suffered. He suffered like you and I will never, probably ever suffer. And he said about it all as he dragged it all up on the scales and then looked at it. He said, "Our light affliction, it's just for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Every little light affliction down here, somehow or other, is building up in the glory world a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Every little trouble you go through, and every trial, and every heartache and sorrow, for the dear Savior's name. It's just a feather really here. But it's weighty on the other side. Amen. Oh, friend. Oh, child of God. We need to look at the things, not the things that are seen, for they're temporal. But the things which are not seen, they're the things that really matter. They're the things that are eternal. When Moses came to years, the Bible said, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That involved having everything that Egypt could offer him. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. David said, "Afflicted, afflicted, afflicted." But he said, it was a faithful God at work in him. And whatever you're going through tonight, child of God, and whatever you shall face in coming days, remember this. It's a loving Heavenly Father and a faithful God behind it all. And God help us to glorify Him in the fires. God help me, and God help you, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I thank Thee tonight for the Word of God. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Dear Lord, help us. Help us in these days to honor Thee and to glorify Thee. And these that are before me, Lord, who are going through difficult days, difficult times right now,
Strengthen them, Lord, with strength in their soul. May they not be guilty, Lord, of murmuring nor complaining beneath the chastening rod. But give them grace, Lord, to glorify Thee. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.